This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
College holds a mythic place in American culture, but there are stories you won't hear on the campus tours.
The higher-ups are concerned about one thing, and that is avoiding scandal.
I'm Margot Gray. On the new podcast, Campus Files, we cover everything from rigged admissions to the drama of Greek life and student protests. Listen to and follow Campus Files, an Odyssey original podcast. Available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
We felt as a coaching staff that we needed to set some goals. You know, what would be a realistic goal to try to claw our way out of the trench that we built for ourselves. And, you know, we've played strong hockey here, you know, last 20, 25 games, and we've won 5 out of 6. And knowing that, we did look at where the last wild card team would probably end up in a range and felt we'd give the team goals to get to that point, knowing that, you know, your last 4 or 5 games of the season would be really important.
Lindy Ruff this week on WGR. Well, you got to put yourself out there. I'm in. I might even bet a playoff berth if there is one available for me to bet, for one to bet. I might even do that. Ooh. I've got them tonight. Boy, plus 185. I mean, that's
yeah, that's juicy. Hefty. Yeah,
that's juicy.
That is. I you know, no surprise. I mean, they're playing a team well above them in the standings. So I was expecting them to be an underdog, and that usually means that the number on the Thompson hat trick is going to be high. I think last week at one point I said to you, even on Tuesday it was like 4,500 or something. I can't do that. It needs to be like 77,000.
What's the difference?
7,500 today.
What's the difference?
I need the juice, man. I gotta have it be a longer shot than what it was on Tuesday. Anyway,
they beat this team a little over a month ago at home
in one of the weirdest games maybe ever.
They got outshot badly,
and they had what happened. McLeod got a hat trick even though he didn't score the goal at the end.
He didn't touch the puck.
Well, he had the puck. He was going in, and he got...
No, he never touched it.
Is that what...
But he was the closest.
Oh, okay.
So they gave him the goal?
I thought it was like a penalty on him going in on the
empty net.
Yeah,
they tripped him up. He was going to score.
Okay.
So they took him out. So they gave... It's an automatic goal.
So he had... But he had...
Goalie out.
He had the puck, though.
No, I don't think he ever touched it.
Oh, wow.
Well, I don't know.
Oh, no, that you know, that's right. That
was just going to. Because
that was the oddity about it, that he got credit for the goal without having the puck.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that was a hat trick, even though, and they never had a shot on goal in that period.
That's the other thing about it.
Listen, say it with me. It's our year.
I'm trying to keep it straight because, you know what, I'm commingling that game with the Penguin game where the goalie got a goal and an assist.
Yeah.
Like that also
Nedeljkovic.
That happened a while
for the
ago.
Penguins.
For the Penguins, right.
Oh, I mean, if they miss, it'll be, for anybody who wants it, it'll be another pile of, like, how did you lose that one? But, you know, bad teams do that.
Yep.
Is this a bad team? I don't think so right now. 803-0550, just the right kind of game for me tonight. I mean, not that many teams are too good anyway. Carolina isn't too good. They're good. Fine. Let's go. And then you sort of work your way up to the playoff race. You get everybody's, you know, interest. People start to come and let's go. It's closer and closer and closer. Then you make it. When some new version of Nathan Gerby scores a goal from behind his back.
Yeah.
And you make it. And then you play Washington, an actually mediocre team in the first round, but like has a great record, but yeah. They're kind of bad. And, you know, that's just like to the cup.
FanDuel has the Sabres at plus 3,000 right now to make the playoffs.
30-1.
Yeah.
I'm in. I'm
all
doing
right.
it.
All right.
Paul is with us. Hi, Paul.
Good luck.
Jeez, I haven't made a bet in a while. That's a great number, plus 3,000.
It is.
I'll tell you what, guys. If we're not bought in and glass half full right now, I mean, what else are we going to root for? So I got to look at it this way. I think right now I have the two best players who are going to be playing in the game. They're both 100% healthy, and they're both hot. I think Seth Jarvis may be nursing something from the Four Nations. I think Carolina has lost two in a row. And if you believe in Dew, there's nobody more Dew than the Buffalo Sabres in Raleigh, North Carolina. And I think my goalie is due for a good one. So let's go, Sabres. Get on the train.
Right,
this
let's
is
go,
number
Paul.
Three of ten in a
yeah.
row. Let's go, guys.
Let's go, Paul.
Paul Hamilton, I don't have it memorized here. I can go find it probably relatively quickly. They're on a not just two in a row. It's like six of seven or something. Like they're in a bit of a spin, Carolina. It was interrupted by the break, but they have not been playing their best lately.
Maybe that is their best.
I kind of doubt that. They can be a very, very hard team to play against when they are on their game. I say to Paul, I think maybe the last time they met, I was alone talking to Paul, and I made a point of saying, whenever the Sabres play this team, it feels to me like whoever on Buffalo has the puck, there are three Hurricanes positioned to like take away all options. Like that's how Carolina. I know that literally is not what happens, but it just feels that way. Like they are just on you. I'll respect a win from them tonight a lot. I think this is a tough game, even if Carolina's not going great.
I thought I had just bet the playoff bet that you suggested, but I realize I have no money.
No,
in FanDuel,
that's a tough
one. I have
there.
To work that out as we go through the day. Is it going to change? Is this a DK horse situation where because we're talking this thing up like this, it's going to move? The odds are going to shorten. I doubt it.
Me too.
In NFL draft news, Abdul Carter might need attention on his foot, and that could mean he will not be the first overall pick, as the odds had said he would be.
Mm-hmm.
So tell me what you think Tennessee should do, whether that's Carter anyway. I doubt it will be after that news.
Yeah. I feel like it got downplayed. Like in the morning, the first thing I saw was he could need surgery. That would involve putting a screw in there to stabilize it, but they haven't made a final determination on that. And then later in the day, it was he's fine. They're not going to have to do that. Now, that could just the idea of that being a conversation could be enough to push Tennessee away, which might be what you're saying there, because even if he doesn't need the procedure, you're drafting a guy at the top of the draft that has something wrong with his foot, at least right now. But I don't know, like Matias Samuelsson ended a broken bone in his foot a couple weeks ago and then came back and played and didn't have any surgery, so not the same thing. If you're talking about putting a screw in, then there's maybe reason to be concerned. So I don't know if I had the first pick, how excited I would be to spend it on a guy that, could in a year need to have surgery on his foot to put a screw in it. Like there's a scenario out there where they go, he's fine. And he gets into the year and they win three games by December and his foot's bothering him. And they go, hey, we're going to shut him down. And we get that screw put in there and then he'll be back ready to go at training camp. And he's never the same.
Right, yeah.
Right, just, who knows?
I don't love it.
That's the buyer beware part of it. So I get it being in question whether he'll be the top pick with this news, even if it got walked back and sounded less threatening as the day wore on.
If we were they, how fired up would you be about drafting one of the quarterbacks?
I think I would be all in on drafting one of the quarterbacks.
Just would be like sort of singing that song, just do it because you never know.
Right.
And like, it's just too, important, too valuable if you get it right.
I think I know Levis ain't it. And I've got the first pick. And so, yeah, I mean, it would hurt to miss, but I think teams have learned not to stay there for too long. Like, I think probably 10 years ago, or maybe even less than that, I would say to you, you miss on a QB, you're setting your franchise back 4 years because you're going to spend all this time. You're not going to give up on it early, kind of where Indianapolis is now, right? They've had two very unsteady years. They're still going, but competition and whatever, we'll see what happens there. I just feel like teams have learned to not stay for too long. If a guy doesn't seem to have it, even if there's a threat of him figuring it out somewhere else, like Geno Smith or Sam Darnold, you're just going to move off. All right, I got to do something else. So you could draft him and burn 2 years, but by three drafts from now, you're back in the same spot trying again. But I would try. If I have access to the best guy, and I know there's not a can't miss on any one of these quarterbacks, even Cam Ward, I think I would try it.
I'm wondering if we might not get as much reporting as yesterday after the scuffle.
Right.
Like, is everybody taking a step back today?
One of my favorite stories of all time.
You see, Trapasso pointed out that Jordan Schultz is the son of the Starbucks heir.
I didn't know that.
Howard Schultz?
I did not know that either.
So they're in Starbucks, and I think probably just what it seems to me, rightfully, the guy, you know, approaches Rappaport.
Mm-hmm.
Like, why would you do that?
If you weren't, can I fill it out for people? Schultz was the one that had the report, and the wording was something along the lines of Brady hosted Matthew Stafford at his house at a ski resort. And then Rappaport later in the day was sort of like, you know, it's a big mountain and lots of wealthy people vacation there, and they just randomly met. And
everybody's in Montana.
Apparently. I would understand the original reporter, Schultz, being like, you know, because Rappaport, what's his reputation, right? He's protecting somebody with that, the Raiders or Brady or Stafford or whatever, even though they don't, you know, Stafford's been given the right to talk to teams. So it's not like there's a bunch of, you know, subterfuge happening there. But still, he basically refuted the Schultz report. Very carefully worded. And I would understand Schultz wanting to sort of, hey man, like.
Well, especially, I mean, if you had it.
Yeah, right.
If you had it, if you didn't have it, then you wouldn't, you would definitely not start something. But if you had it, and you know that Rappaport is just sort of
carrying water for somebody, yeah,
doing that work.
Yep.
Like, I could be offended. I could see being offended by that. I want to think that I would do the same thing.
Yeah.
But then if my dad built Starbucks.
Not sure if that's the place I would pick for the confrontation.
No, I just, I probably feel like I couldn't say anything ever. You know? Just, who am I? I'm just the guy whose dad built Starbucks. Like, what?
Yeah.
I would feel pretty low. It'd be tough, I think, in life if you had sort of like a really wealthy, famous parent.
Rough in what way, exactly?
Well, not in a sort of intrinsic way. But in a like in a morale sort of way,
trying to carve your like, own path.
What's my identity?
Is hard.
I think about like Joe Buck. Like I've never been a Joe Buck fan, and who's Ian Eagle's kid? Like you know, some of these guys have talent, but you're there because you're dead. Like that's why you're there. So, I think as somebody that isn't there, admittedly,
mm-hmm.
like oh well, that must be nice, and. If that's your life, I mean, that's probably great, but I think the way I think, I would have a tough time, I might have a tough time sort of like with my own identity.
Yeah.
Like, I'm only here because I was given this,
mm-hmm.
this privilege, and, you know, that's a relative thing, too. Like, we're all here on some level because of privilege, right? Like, we've all had lucky breaks and
sure.
people that we know and different things. I don't know. I just think it's kind of funny.
actually.
Yeah.
There was at Starbucks.
Yeah.
Like, Trapasso's line was he had home field advantage. I don't know.
Buck has really grown on me.
I know.
After how he and Aikman handled the DeMar Hamlin game, like you know, Buck was seemed to be refuting what the league was trying to tell you was happening, and I appreciate that. And I think since then, they both have become much more irreverent is a little strong because they're still in an NFL booth, but. There was a time this year during a game where they had the rules guy on, and I'm telling you, I don't know this for sure, but I feel like Joe Buck scared the ever-living crap out of the rules guy because he was, like, questioning what was going on the field, and the rules guy was trying to, like, toe the line for the league, and Buck was like, but I thought they're not supposed to be able to call a penalty after, and I appreciate that on that stage, them just not rolling with it. I don't think that's an easy thing to do. So my admiration for both of them has grown.
Russell Yurt?
Yes, that's the guy.
Oh, baby. Let's go. Could the season be that far away? Travis Yost coming up at 4, Sabres and Bills. Sabres at Hurricanes/Whalers, 6 o'clock pregame with the birthday boy, Paul Hamilton. Mike Schopen, the Bulldog here, WGR.